Grab your Bible and turn back to the text that started all this, and the man who started all this will speak it in John chapter 4. And he brought us to one of the pivotal subject of worship, which is a pivotal subject. Understand that, pivotal. In other words, it's a pivotal subject in the spirit realm. Worship is, Leroy. It's a pivotal subject. In other words, it's the axle what the spirit world turn on. Worship is the axle that the spirit world turn on. It if you ever had something that turned God on, it's worship. Okay? Uh-huh. And it caused God to move on his throne and move in your presence. And here I want to read these four verses because there's 10 keys to worship in these verses. And I want you to write this down. Worship creates a breakthrough atmosphere and breakthrough anointed and develop a breakthrough attitude. Let me give you that again because you didn't receive it like you should have. Worship creates a breakthrough atmosphere. We in it this morning. In other words, what breakthrough what? Whatever you need to break through, this atmosphere will break you through it. Worship creates a breakthrough atmosphere and breakthrough anointing and develop a breakthrough attitude. Atmosphere, anointing, attitude. Worship do that for you. It cut all false frequencies off. Sometimes in the spirit we get false frequencies. You know what a frequency is, right? Like a radio wave. Yeah, worship will cut that frequency off that diluting your power. Wow, man. Y'all heard that? There are frequencies that dilutes your power as a Christian. But when a Christian learned to worship God in spirit and truth, it cut that frequency off. Worship shut hell down. And solemn demon voices. They can't talk to you when you're in worship. So here's 10 things the master mentioned about worship, talking to this woman at the well. And we want to look at those things to help us this morning quickly. And I'll start reading at the 20th verse. And those 10 things are said right. If you can look, I got it underlined in my Bible from 20 to 24. Every time it said worship or worshiper, I underline it at least 10 times. This is a worship conversation here. And I think it's the most vivid things about worship came from the master of worship, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's showing us some secrets and keys that we can develop in our life to cause us to be true worshipers. That we not only worship God, but we worship our Father. Not only worship God, he's the creator, but then it's personal. It gives me a place where I can talk to my Father in worship. You with me now, John 4? Watch this now. And our Father, underline, worship in his mountain. In this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Underline. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem, underline, worship the Father. Ye worship, underline. You know not what? We know what we worship. Underline. For salvation of the Jews. Something going to happen yet today. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is. You know why something going to happen? I got these young people pushing me. They were touched when they was at this altar. It was touched, boy. When the true worshiper, underline, shall worship, underline, the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to, underline, worship him. This word worship is used 10 times here, Janet, 10 times. Look at the 24th verse. God is a spirit, did that, underline, worship. Right in that Bible, right in that Bible. Him must worship, underline, in spirit and truth. So let's take care of these 10 things right quick. Worship create a breakthrough atmosphere and a breakthrough anointing. Develop a breakthrough attitude. How many of y'all want that? How many of y'all got some things you need to break through? If you don't, you got some coming. Let me go back and give you those 10 things right quick. Worship is not about a place. It's about a person. You'll find that in that text. That's one of the worshiping points. It's not about a place. It's about a person. You see, you have to recognize that you're not worshiping some Allah stature that have hand and can't feel, and eyes and can't see, and legs and can't walk. No, you worship somebody who's alive. He's a person. He can do something about your situation. He can change things for you. Why? He's alive. He see you. He hear you. He smell you. He feel you. He know you. That's who we worshiping. Somebody when we worship him, it's personal to him. He's a person. He's not a place. He's a person. That means I don't have to be here to worship. Does that mean I can worship him what? Anyway. Second thing Jesus point out, I think Jesus is the master teacher about worship. Second thing he point out, that men always ought to worship God. That's the second point. That's one of the lessons he's teaching in his text. Just in them four verses. Men ought to always worship God. I mean in your car. I mean in your yard. Huh? I mean every now and then. Sneak in the bathroom on the job. In the toilet. Just lift your hand up. Say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But he need to be worshiped. See, worship is experiencing God. Worship is you experiencing God. Listen to me. It's coming right out of my spirit. Worship is you experiencing God and God experiencing you. I wonder who's going to have the best experience. You and God now exchanging experience. All right? You worshiping him and you and God now changing experience. I wonder who's going to have the best experience. Or I wonder who is more experienced. Third thing he points out that you worship the Father. He's your Father. The Lord prays, our Father. Watch out in heaven. That's something that's powerful, ain't it? You that have the right to call God Father. Wave your hand at me. Shake your hand at me. I have the right to call God. Shake your hand at me. Don't be bashful. Where your hand at, God? I don't see your hand.
Come on, Father.
I don't see your hand. That's your Father? Let me see your hand. Wave at him then. Hand under that block. Get your hand from under that. See? He's your Father.
Right.
And so we have had so much bad example of fatherhood.
Right.
And that sometimes we put God in that category. But he's your Heavenly Father. And we must worship him. We must talk to him gently and kindly. Tell him how much you love him.
Yes.
All right, I got to hurry. The fourth thing is, now this is powerful. It's all taught, Veronica, in the four verses. You cannot worship who you do not know.
Oh, come on now.
That's why you don't give it to him. You really don't know him. You're going through a false facet of your Christian experience until you hear a sure word from God.
Hallelujah.
And then your spirit can be touched. And then you can recognize who he really is. He's everybody. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's holding everything together. Then you really, when you realize that, you realize you're not doing what you have. You didn't bring yourself this far. He brought you. Then you really can worship. You see, you can't worship. You can't worship who you do not know. Yeah, if you don't recognize who did that for you, you don't recognize who made you who you are, and who's holding things together for you. You can't worship him. I mean, you ain't got time for nobody. You don't know. You don't have much time for him, you know, because you really don't know them. But you know him. When you get to know him, when revelation come and Rhema come and enlightenment come, and you get excited about God. You get excited about him being your father. You get excited about him being your father. You know he's holy. You're not comfortable without him. I got to tell him something today. I got to tell him thank you, sir. I got to tell him something today. I got to let him know I appreciate what he done for me. I'm not going to get satisfied than sitting in a comfort zone. I need to tell him he's my father. How many of y'all see me shake your hand at me? That girl there wasn't shaking her hand. I'm pretty sharp. I can see, boy. I can see. I saw her. I said, I don't see no. I thought she ain't had no arm. I really did. I said, well, no, maybe I don't hurt the lady. Maybe her arm's cut off. Maybe she can't pray then. But I went over there and found out she got two arms under that blouse, two arms under that thing she got over there. Wonder if she know who put that thing on her. You'd be buck naked if it wasn't for him. Fig leaf not going to work in this world. The fifth thing, amen. Go sit down. Fifth thing. How old are you, Valor? You 46? 42. 42, yeah. You young man, I'm going to bring you and your wife because I'm going to train you and your wife in some things. I'll get you. I'm going to go from 12 to 45. Got some good people in their 40s I got to catch. After 50, if I don't have you yet, I ain't going to get you. Another thing I saw in that text, you must know that you are a worshiping person. You must know that God have designed you to worship him. I didn't go over too good. I felt a dip in that. You must know that you are a worshiping person. All right, you must know you're a renegade. You must know you're a monkey. I'm trying to find out who I'm got, what's going on here. Because I said the scripture, the text teaches, if you read it close enough, you must know that you are a worshiping person. God, let me see if I don't want to say it. God designed you to worship him. He don't want nobody else to worship him. He don't want no monkeys. He don't want no elephant. He don't want no jaguar or lion or billy goat worshiping him. You designed to worship him. You the only one that has his spirit. Preach up in here. Let me preach up in here, man. You designed to worship God. What a privilege. Nobody else can worship him but me. I'm designed to worship. He won't take your father in being designed to worship him. Yes, sir. He wants you to be inclined to worship him. Amen. on a daily basis. Let my spirit speak to your heart and show you how good I've been to you. Has he been good to you?
Yes.
You just sing, the Lord been good to me.
Yes.
The Lord been good to me.
Yes.
An old sister had a hat on, a handkerchief in her hand.
Yes, sir.
She's waving her hands. The Lord been good to me.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
He brought me through the storm.
Yes. Yes. Come on now. Watch out.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Watch out.
Lord been good to me. Who else can say that? Say it then. The Lord been good to me. Hallelujah. He been good. He been good. Now, number six. Number six. Bearing the mark of being a true worshiper. Bearing the mark of being a true worshiper. Not a slipper, you know. Not a slipper. Slipper worship. I worship you when I get ready. I worship you on Communion Sunday. I ain't thinking about no training. I don't need to be trained. You need to be trained, God. You don't know much as I know. You come to my meeting. My meeting at my house. Just well, go ahead and preach up in here. Then number seven, you must worship the Father in spirit and truth. Wait a minute. You must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Got two ends there. In spirit, in truth. For the Father, number eight, for the Father seeketh. Look at this. For the Father, that's in that text, Bob. For the Father seeketh people to worship him in spirit and truth. The Father's looking for him. And then number nine, God is a spirit. And then number 10, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's 10 things in that text. I want to go back there to clarify those 10. I might come back to them later on in this series. So I wrote this note to you. So you see, he keep emphasizing how personal it is, and he keep emphasizing how you must worship him over and over again in spirit and in truth. You must keep on worshiping him. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this breakthrough. Turn to, you remember we had this woman in Matthew 15 last week. If you were here last week, you weren't here last week, you should have been here if you're part of this, what God doing. But last week, so let me take you to it. Go to Matthew chapter 15. What verse it was? Who got it in their note?
21.
Verse 21, Matthew 15, 21. Let's read this woman who was handled wrong in a service by people who were supposed to handle her right, but she didn't get insulted. What she did, she went into a worship. And she got what she wanted, too. She prayed. She used her faith, and it still seemed like they wasn't going to pay her no attention. She said, I got another gear in the box. And she began to worship. I want you to see this, because I'm about to take you to another lesson where a man shouldn't have even approached Jesus. But he got instruction beyond the law. The law said he should cry unclean and unclean and stay his distance. But he approached Jesus because he got instruction. The word of God always, every time you open the word of God, it has some instruction for you. You got to fulfill the instruction before God can manifest. See, we've been skipping, drifting. We've been reading the word of God, but we would not fulfill the instruction. Instruction gives you insight. This woman here, God, I didn't tell her last week, she got what she wanted, though. A woman hung in there. Say, hang in. Tell that person next to you, hang in there.
Hang in,
yeah, hang in there. Don't give up. God dug it, it ain't over yet. Hang in there. I know you might be going through something. Tell them outside. Tell them. I know you might be going through something. Hang in there. There's a set word in the house for you this morning. Tell them. There's a set word in you. God sent you to this church for a reason this morning. You not visitors, you not here by accident. God sent you. There's a set word. Change your home and change your marriage. Change your family. Change your body. Change your finances. Change your city. Change your street. There's a set word here for you this morning. You're not here. You're not here just to visit and hear some songs. 21, verse 21. Sit down. 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sodom, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. She praying now, O Lord. She called him, Lord, thy son of David. She went on and called him a covenant. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. You know when your child, you want to get your child delivered. My daughter is grievously. She said, that demon is vexing her daughter. But look at the 23rd verse. But he answered her not a word. You know, sometimes you prayed, you didn't feel nothing happening, and nothing probably wasn't happening because God was calling you to worship. And guess what you did? You went and prayed again. And guess what you did the third time? You prayed again. Because you see, worship, listen to me, worship takes something out of you. Yeah, worship takes flesh out. See, because worship, see, you don't worship by feeling. You worship by facts. And so, you know, you can talk to God and believe you're getting the answer, but worship, you got to just stand there or sit there, whatever way, face there, on your face before him and just tell him how great he is. See, worship, you're really not asking him for nothing. You're acting like you already got it. Then it shows up. See, a lot of times you worship, you don't even have to pray. God will wipe it out before you get to your prayer. Just because you're praying me, I'm going to open this jail door. Just because you're praying me, I'm going to stop these five things that are coming against you. Just because you worship me. Act like you know me and I'll show up. I feel. Get ready for this. Get ready for this. I sense in my spirit, God want to do something in here for somebody out of the ordinary.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Something you wouldn't even dream that God would do for you. But I thank God. God said, he want to do something for you. Something to change your life. Something to break the routine. God, dog. Something to break the normal.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if this is a word. Too much normalcy. Too normal. We've been too normal. God want to do something, and he wants your neighbor to see it. I'm going to do what I thought to do. Ooh, Lord, hallelujah. When heaven is solemn and hell is loud, worship him. Sit down, write that down. When heaven seems solemn and hell seems loud, ooh, I love that, Leroy. Worship him. That ain't even my nose, boy. That just come up. When hell seemed loud and heaven talking low, worship him. You heard that, Roy? Worship him. Yeah, you've been in that predicament, right? You've been in such a way it looked like nothing was going to happen, nothing, no answer. You done prayed and you done said and you done confessed and you done danced, you done everything you can do. It looked like nothing changed and hell just hollering about you. Ain't going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Heaven's like that of Solomon.
Yeah.
But But you worship him. That's a pause moment. That's a moment. Your wife's going to come back to you, son. But you're going to have to align some things in your life. Let me be the set man in your life for a few moments. And you're going to get your family back. You're going to have your own home. And you're going to live like your brother. That's what the Lord said. He can do it. He can do it. Because the same talent your brother got, you got. But you just got to do what your brother doing. And your wife will be like his wife. I love it. Somebody can't get somewhere they're going now because they're not worshiping God. You've been asking him, but you don't worship him enough. Stop asking me for all that stuff. I already have given you that. Give me some praise. Give me some worship. Give me some respect. Let me know you know who I am. I'll set ambushment on your enemy. I'll shut them down. You can't worship me and an enemy move in on you at the same time. Your enemy can't move in worship. No, your enemy can't move in worship. Your enemy in worship, your enemy become with paralysis. I wish I had three people praying with me up here today. Somebody about to stop something right now in your life. You about to stop it because your set man in a set house have given you a set word. There's some things going on in your life you've been wanting to stop. Today, you just learn in the spirit how to stop it. If you believe what I say, shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so that'll stop it. I said, hey, you looking at me? I said, that'll stop it. I said, that'll stop it. Your enemy can't move in worship. He can move while you're praying. He can move while you're meditating the word. But he can't move in worship. You got it, Joe? That's an atmosphere created. That's a balloon you go in when you worship. That's the seal of favor. Psalm 5 and 12 says, he's surrounding me with his favor. Worship is a favor station. When you worship, you're fueling your life with favor. Favor become a shield to you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done, Lord. I worship you. This woman. He didn't say a word to her. Jesus, I mean, what kind of Jesus is this? But he answered her not a word. He's pressing her. He said, look at me. He's sometimes pressing you. He said, come a little closer to me. Come a little closer. I don't see how. You see me, son? He said, come a little closer. I got no answer. I've been talking to him and he didn't give me no answer. You know what I'm saying? Come here. He said, come a little deeper. Come a little closer. I can't quite hear what you're saying. He's beckoning you. Come closer. Cut out some things out of your life. Huh? Put me where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be first. You got me down the line. I don't work that way. I don't work down the line. Put me for you. Oh, my. And he answered not a word. And the disciple came beside him saying, send her away. That's another insult. For she cried out. But he answered and said, in the name of Jesus, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Get on out of my face. Yes, sir. Now, the way the average church members related to God, they gone to their house God give them. They hot. They got a little job, you know. I don't have to put up with this. So they go to their house that God gave them and act like it's their house. That's why we're so stubborn in the church, and do because God been good to us and grace been good to us, and they're teaching this grace message like you don't have to do nothing, but you need to do something. Some of this grace, they're teaching this grace. Some of this grace is going to take them people out in space. They ain't going to know God. All right. She said, but then verse 25. Sit down. We've got to look at verse 25. Verse 25 will change the mode of Jesus' conduct. You heard that, Leroy? Yeah. Verse 25 is going to change the mode of Jesus' conduct. Worship can stop God from what he was about to do.
That's good.
And cause him to do something else. I can prove that in the Bible. You can have a sentence on you for 40 years. Worship will cancel the debt. I'm trying to explain. I don't know how I'm getting across that. Thank you for the hand over there. I thank y'all. Y'all help me out. Y'all help me because I'm in a thick cloud right here. Y'all help me over there. Thank y'all. Thank God for them people who got armed and can wave. Then came she and worshiped him. I don't like what Pastor said last Sunday. So I ain't going back for 3 weeks. I'll fix him. You ain't fixing me, baby. You're fixing yourself. Don't fix me. I ain't going to miss you. The Lord don't miss you. Because you're contrary. You're stubborn. You need to be broken. You're like a horse that never had a man on his back. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dog. And she said, all right, true Lord, you're the true Lord. Yet the dog eat of the crumb which fall from their mouth. You my master. You my master. I ain't going nowhere else. Now, you ain't going to send me to go nowhere else. I ain't going nothing else. I'm coming to get this thing from you. Yes, you my master. Yes, you determine how I come out. Yes, you can call me what you want. You can call me a dog, frog, but you my master. Yes, see? When God sets you somewhere, how you leave and go somewhere else? If God set you there. Then Jesus, sit down. Look, verse 28. Then Jesus, because I'm going to take you to another story. It's three synoptic gospel meme that Matthew, Luke, and John all ministered different facet of a story. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to read all three of them this Sunday, but I'm going to take you to another lesson. And each lesson give us a more detail about this leopard. Leprosy. Leprosy is a representation of what sin does to a soul. Leprosy does to a body. Leprosy take a body to hell on earth. See, the leprosy we got now is not leprosy. Leprosy where people have to have garment that tie their meat together. It's falling off. So they got to have something that, if they don't have something fitting to hold it, the meat will fall off. Just how leprosy, disfigured, the nose falling off, and they got to stay so many distant from people. I'm tell you, boy. And Jesus said unto her, and old woman, great is thy faith. Look what he said now. Look what he said to her now. Let's read. Look what he said to her. What he said to her after he said, great is thy faith. What he said to her though? Oh, man. Be it unto thee even as thou will. Worship have brought you to the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ in Philippians 2 says, Jesus thought it wasn't robbery to be equal to God. What God was saying to the woman, you have come on my level. And nothing at a lower level can stop you or subdue you anymore. You come. You see, that's why the church got to get, we got to get in the spirit realm. We're too social. We be up in the church socializing more than we spiritualize. We're so glad to see each other more than we're glad to see God. And see that. And so we're selling in our mind. We satisfy with silliness when it should be purged by sanctification. Oh my. This thing is sacred. This is no silly stuff. This is not social. If you're serving God, you're not gonna be satisfied all the time. Because you gotta be disturbed. You gotta be disturbed to step up. God got a plan. He put his hand back so something can smack you on your back. And you got to cry, God, I need you. Every hour.
Oh, man. My. Come on, Dad.
Men have got too comfortable in the presence of God. They thank God. They play with God. They just hammer God like they want. Hammer God just for second Sunday. Third Sunday, but fourth Sunday, I'm not going nowhere. God ain't got no word for me this Sunday. I'm resting myself. I got to get a breed that's 100%. They'll have 100% victory. My. Yeah, Lord, say, I ain't some great faith. God, just what you want. I'm going, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of that demon. Your daughter, when you get back home, she's going to be all right. Because you've pleased me. I'm satisfied with what you've come up to my level. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 8 now. Let me hurry. Matthew chapter 8, I'll get you introduced to this because I want you to see this worship, how powerful worship is. Leprosy, I can't explain. It'll take years to explain to you what leprosy was like. In other words, leprosy, you couldn't wear a cap because when you had leprosy, it means you had no covering. You're talking about a rotten body. I don't know if you ever been by a piece of rotten meat, but leprosy is a poison body, rotten, they stink. They leak it. Foul odor, foul look. We never really seen no real leprosy. I saw a little bit of it, but not a real leper when he got leprosy. And then Matthew's 8. And I want you to know I'm preaching up in here. I want you to know we're about to get some results in our lives. I want you to know the devil's a liar. He's not going to do that to you. You and I are going to let him do that to you. I want you to know you're going to take your wife back, boy. You're going to take your wife back by learning principle. And boy, she's going to love you. You're going to be a happy man, but you're going to be a changed man. His word is changing you right now, son. Sop it up. Matthew 8, come on. I want to read the 29th verse right before that 8th verse, the last verse in that chapter before. The Holy Spirit brought that to me. And it came to pass when Jesus, you understood what I said? How many of y'all understood what I said, what I want to do? Oh, y'all didn't understand. In Matthew 8, I'm going to start in Matthew 8, 1, but I'm going to go to the last verse in Matthew 7. Yeah, see, communication is very important, you know. Don't act like you know what I'm talking about when you don't know what I'm talking about. Because you're going to miss a revelation. All right? So the last verse in chapter 7, I'm going to read it because something said there to bring us into more of a grip with why this man was so enthused to get to Jesus. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. You with me now? See, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew, he taught the Beatitude. And they said when he has finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. What I'm reading the 28th verse too. Go back to 28th verse. Oh, it's good understanding. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were what? At his what?
Doctrine.
What is doctrine?
Teaching.
For he taught them as one. Oh, glory. Having authority. Yes, and not as regular church folks.
That's right. That's what I said there. That's right.
Regular church folks can read the Bible to you, boy. Regular church folks read the Bible to you. You read the Bible. You read the Bible to you to get you off of them so you won't take them no further.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I know that scripture.
Right.
Yeah, but do you know the man? Now, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. Great multitude followed him. Great multitude followed him. That don't mean all of them were getting nothing. See, I call this in this church, it's a great multitude, but I don't know if all y'all getting something. Some of y'all have mad because of the way I preach already. Then I'll snatch your communion out your mouth today. Great multitude followed him. Great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper. What he did? And worship him. Now that man don't supposed to be there. Wait a minute, get my notes. That man don't supposed to be there. He don't supposed to be that close to the people. Because if you look in the 17th chapter of Luke, those 10 lepers, they hollered a far way off, Lord! They were not supposed to come close to him. But so I asked the Lord about how did this man get so close to Jesus? He knew he got leper. Here's what I said. He said he worshiped him, right? That man got some instruction from the Spirit what to do, and he trusted the Spirit and broke the law.
Right.
Now, as you say, Pastor, I read the scripture. I didn't see that. I know. But you don't just break code like that and get results. You break code, you don't get no result unless you broke code with a higher code. You follow me? So some way this man had got some divine instruction. Yeah, I know you're a leopard. Yeah, I know leopards supposed to holler at him. But I want you to get close up on him. The man wasn't supposed to be there. Let me see here. Good God Almighty. First of all, his condition was desperate. You ever had a desperate condition? I've been there, boy. I've been there. I'm trying to think about one now. Well, Leroy Jr. What was attacked at the time? Yeah. With his heart. And the doctor said he couldn't do nothing for him and that he couldn't play ball. Huh? His heart just run off. The beat just run off. Doctor say, that's my son right here. I got three sons up here. He said he'll never be able to play ball and all that stuff. And one day in my bedroom, I got a revelation. Me and my wife. And the Lord changed it all. He played ball. He played ball. Played basketball and baseball. See, God, a desperate condition. You know, then he found a father good here. Pesiki. Kushikatale. Now I want to tell you something about this man. His worship really was not complete. Let me show you. He would come down to Mount Great Montus, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper to worship him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Now, his worship wasn't complete because he didn't really, this woman knew in Matthew 15 that the Lord could do something. No, she knew he was willing. This man, worship was incomplete because he didn't really know that the Lord was willing. He knew he was able. Boy, when you get the combination of the two together, he's willing and he's able. Watch out. Nothing can stand against that mighty moving force. When a man, a woman know God is willing and able and worshiping him, you cannot stop them. Don't even try. Listen. Oh, my goodness. His worship was not really complete. I'm going to say something in a minute. But he did the best worship he knew. He was worshiping, wasn't he? Huh? Look at that. And behold, came a leper, second verse, and worship him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. His request reveals something to me. Even though his worship wasn't fully complete, his request revealed this to me. Yet Jesus said yes. If you make an effort to worship him, he will meet you. And Jesus put forth his hand. Oh, Lord, Jesus, you don't supposed to touch him. Watch this now. Watch this. Everybody listening? Yes, sir. Have Jesus ever put his hand in your mess? I know he put his hand in my mess. I messed up, but Jesus put his hand in there and got me out of that mess. Come on, talk to me up in here. Talk to me up in here. Jesus wasn't, you don't supposed to touch no leper. You don't supposed to touch nobody who committed adultery. You don't supposed to touch nobody who told a lie. They're contaminated. But Jesus is in the decontaminating business. Yeah, he's before Roto-Rooter. And he's before, what do you call him, Terminex. He's before them. He's in the cleansing business. I'm glad. How many of y'all glad about it? I'm glad Jesus is in the cleansing business. If not, I'll still be dirty. But not long ago, on an old rugged cross, his blood with his cleansing power started running down and set me free. I'm glad about it. Ooh, I got to close. Listen. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. What happened? And what? And what? I believe going to be some immediate up the other day. Y'all, we need some immediate thing to happen. And stop waiting. I need some immediate thing to happen. And I believe that I released them immediate anointing in here today. You get it immediately. Right now. He didn't know. Listen, sit down. I want you to write this. I got 5 minutes. Don't take my 5 minutes. He didn't know how available Jesus was for his request But he knew he was able to do it. Now, suppose you know he is available and able. That's good preaching. He's available and able. Tell somebody, they say, he's available and able. Tell them what you're dealing with ain't nothing. He's available and able. Well, God, Audrey, you done saw me come to some transition. Audrey said, yeah, Audrey and Charles say, I don't know what he's going to do. Because I don't know what I'm going to do. But that woman had been through some transition with me. That woman got to be a Christian. Audrey Price. Boy, that woman, me and her took the funeral home fan. The people come looking for the funeral home fan next Sunday. And say, Audrey said, Pastor, take them out. Now and come here. Now she ain't know she's going to live in the city. And now and come here and got a wandering communion. Wonder when I'm going to get it. But it's all in an apostolic transition here. I'm not supposed to be here by myself when I come to preach. I don't care what meeting I call. And none of y'all no business. Doctor's a head surgeon. I use your life, sir, but I got to use it. God give you the gift. He got that beep on him right now. He's the head surgeon. He was here Friday night. He operated on people. Who you operate on? On some pancakes up in the house and eat something. You have yourself here. How am I learning you anything? How you gonna teach you anything? Let me. Then Doc got to operate on you after the pancake. Because this man is a leopard, he shouldn't be there. Watch this now. The multitude probably dissipated when the man showed up.
Wow. That's right.
That's right. They left. See, that's not the culture of honor. See, the culture of honor, if one of our people mess up, they don't need us dissipated. They need us participating. Showing some love. Show me some love, brother. Yeah, I messed up, but show me some love. Don't be look at him. Look at him. He back at the church. Most likely, my note says, in my meditation, he had to worship by himself sometime.
Wow.
Sometime, old Dustin. Sometime they're not going to understand. They didn't understand. They didn't understand your father. Your father was a man walking ahead of his generation, and he would talk about God. They didn't understand him. Odessa, I'm talking to her. Her father was a holy man. He lived up 90-something years old. That might have been 100. Listen. Sometime, you just got to worship him by yourself. You don't want to worship him, I'm going to worship him anyway. See, I know they were gone. They left because they knew he had a leprosy, you see. Oh, my God. Listen, the Spirit of God told me, says, most of them left. They missed the miracle. They were gone because they wanted no more church. And they missed the miracle. The miracle is not where the normal is. It's where something extra is happening. Somebody's trusting God more than they can understand. That's where the miracle is. If Jesus didn't leave, why would you leave? They left Jesus because it wasn't going their way. They left Jesus because it wasn't going normal. The leopard wasn't supposed to be in the service. All I would have done is watch Jesus. If Jesus would have left, I would have left. But I wouldn't have left without Jesus. He was supposed to. To lay low by crying, unclean. But by grace, he used his voice to worship Jesus. He changed it. See, they had told him, you got to cry unclean. But he got some unseen instruction. that changes his word. He said, don't cry unclean, unclean. That's all you're going to be. Change your conversation. And he said, he used his voice to worship Jesus. You've been talking about what you got too much. Don't talk about what you have. Talk about what you want. Don't talk the problem. Talk the solution. Don't talk the question. Talk the answer. Good God Almighty. Ow, man. Good God Almighty. I got to close. We'll take up that next Sunday. Stand on your feet. If the gospel was talking to you this morning, I want you to come to the altar. If the gospel was talking to you.